pitfalls of being earnest. As the age-old Shakespeare saying loosely goes, all the world's a stage, and we're merely players making entrances and exits. Each person in their own time gets the opportunity to play as many parts as they can. One can certainly say that this applied to Ernest Badgett, whose entrance into this world was just as remarkable as his untimely exit. But as many a Sanford native can attest, being deceased has never stopped some folks from sticking around and turning up in places you'd least expect them to. So steel yourself and grab your wits about you as we set off on an adventure of fame and glory, show business and showmanship. We begin our tale outside La Dolce Vita Pizzeria. With any luck, the weather in Sanford is absolutely perfect this evening, because that wasn't the case when Ernest, affectionately known as Ernie, came into the world. Legend has it, a terribly wicked thunderstorm raged through Sanford at about the time his dear mother was in the throes of childbirth, when Ernie cried out, taking his first breath. Three remarkable things happened at once. A huge bolt of lightning struck nearby. The power in the delivery room went out. And for a few miraculous seconds, the newborn Ernest glowed. Now, whether any of that is true remains to be seen. But from that day on, Ernie lived a rather charmed life. From a young age, Ernest displayed an uncanny ability to craft things out of scraps of paper and any other bits of rubbish he could get his hands on. His miniature creations of animals, people, cars, and town buildings were incredibly intricate and would come alive as Ernie put on shows in his living room for his family and friends, but mostly for himself. Even then, all things theatrical had a firm grip on his imagination and a permanent place in his heart. Ernie's favorite place growing up was the Temple Theater. If you head east on Carthage Street and glance to your left, you'll see this majestic jewel of downtown Sanford. Built in 1925, the theater has attracted and entertained lovers of the performing arts, both present and past. Anytime Ernie got the chance, he was at the theater, seated in the rows of wooded seats, staring wide-eyed up at a grand stage draped in velvety curtains and the ornate chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. With every visit, he would make the same vow to himself that one day, he'd make it up on that stage and into the spotlight. Little did he know the spotlight he'd always yearned for would eventually be his undoing. We should also mention that the lights in general at the Temple Theater have always done their own thing, going off and on at random times, flickering oddly, and even suddenly shattering for no apparent reason. Here's hoping nothing like that happens when you visit, and the spirits who haunt the place, Ernest included, are in a less playful mood. You would think that with a theater passion so great, Ernie would naturally find his way into the business of stage and scene. His professional life, however, took a more peculiar route. His natural talent for making the most mundane creations come alive actually landed him in the realm of mortuary science. Yes, you heard that right. Ernest became quite the skilled mortician, doing things to corpses that were both amazing and otherworldly. If you had a dime for every time a mourner remarked how alive their dearly departed looked after Ernie had worked on them, you'd be filthy rich. It's often said that one can leave a life behind, but never truly escape it. In Ernie's case, that's literally the truth. As you walk back toward the corner of Carthage and Steel Streets, you'll come across the Lee Furniture Building, the site of a host of hauntings as well. Would it surprise you to know that the spirit of Ernest Badgett has been known to haunt this place as well? It's by sheer coincidence, mind you. It just so happens that in the early 1900s, furniture makers were coffin makers as well. If someone was preparing a body for burial, a place like Lee Furniture was where they'd go. In more modern times, sightings of a shadowy figure sitting outside the shops on Steel Street late at night have been reported. Some folks have even called out to or even approached the figure only to see it immediately vanish. Could it be a case of the right ghost in the wrong location? You be the judge if you dare. While Ernie found great contentment in his work as a mortician, he never truly abandoned his love for the theater. When the funeral business was slow, he would spend all of his spare time designing sets for local productions at the Temple Theater. Anyone visiting or walking past the theater any time between shows would hear Ernie sawing and hammering away, constructing entire worlds from nothing but raw materials. Using his cardboard wizardry, he'd create elaborate sets that transported audiences to different places and times, leaving them completely spellbound. As time went on, Ernie's star began to shine even brighter than he did the night he was born. In the theater world, he quickly became known as the Cardboard King. His sets were highly sought after not only in Sanford but around the globe. At the same time, Ernest's fame as a mortician also grew to the point that his embalming skills were unrivaled and unmatched. But beneath all the success lay a burning desire for even more. The truth was, he had never truly abandoned his dream to command the spotlight as an actor on the stage. Remaining behind the scenes concealed by his beautiful set pieces was all well and good, but it wasn't enough. It was around this time when Ernie received the prestigious honor of joining one of the oldest fraternal organizations in the world, the Freemasons. Word of his superior building skills had spread far and wide, reaching the ears of the Brotherhood. If one thing is considered well known about the Freemasons, it's that they can be a fairly secretive bunch. So much, in fact, that there are a lot of rumors about what they get up to. From secret handshakes to elaborate ceremonies to cryptic symbols etched into everything they have a hand in building. In fact, eagle-eyed pub crawlers will spot some of these Masonic symbols on historic buildings all over downtown Sanford, as well as at our next stop, Hugger Mugger Brewing. Hugger Mugger has lovingly incorporated Masonic symbols in their branding and their decor. This has unintentionally made the brewery and taproom a beacon for the supernatural, beckoning Masons who have passed over to drop by from time to time. Some visitors have even performed a little test to determine if ghostly visitors are enjoying a cold brew alongside them. Just order up a tall, frosty glass of your favorite beer, place it in the center of the table, and ask the spirits of the Masons to reveal themselves. If you're lucky, or unlucky, a Masonic symbol will appear in the fog of your glass. For the dearly departed Ernest, being a Mason opened a lot of doors, including the one he had hoped to walk through all his life. With a little encouragement from a fellow Mason who happened to be on the theater's board of directors, he auditioned for his very first play and landed a small walk-on role with three whole lines. Ernie was thrilled. This was his big break. And just like with his theater sets and funeral home career, he threw all of himself into rehearsing, not just in the theater, but everywhere else as well. As you walk back down Steel Street in the direction of the Temple Theater, imagine a determined Ernest shuffling towards you, repeatedly murmuring to himself and gesturing awkwardly at no one in particular. Suffice it to say, folks started to believe Ernie was as mad as a hatter. At this point, you might be tempted to stop off at local Joe's or Smoke and Barrel for a little refreshment, if you're able to find a quiet corner and tune your ears just right. There's a chance you'll hear Ernie reciting his three lines. Everyone knows there's no better place to rehearse them than in a crowded bar or restaurant, right? As you arrive back at the Temple Theater, we come to the fantastic end of our chilling tale. Opening night has finally arrived for Ernie's big debut as a breakout star. As you're standing in the theater lobby, imagine it filled with theatergoers anxious and excited to see the show. Backstage, Ernie is rushing around adjusting sets and lights while also frantically repeating every syllable of every word of his lines to make sure they're absolutely perfect. At long last, the theater doors open, everyone takes their seats, and the curtain rises, revealing yet another signature set built from cardboard. The play commences, and Ernie anxiously watches every minute of it from backstage. The wait is agonizing, and he tries everything to steel his nerves, to no avail. Before long, it's time for him to go on. Ernie stiffly walks on the stage and hits his mark. The spotlight he has longed for blinds him instantly, and at that moment, his mind goes completely blank. After a very long, awkward silence, Ernie manages to start to speak, but what comes out? His complete gibberish, a mashup of every embarrassing thought in his head. His castmates try to cut in to assist him, but Ernie talks faster and louder. The audience starts to gasp, then snicker, then laugh. Finally, overcome with sheer terror, Ernie spins around and runs off stage, accidentally running into the edge of his own set piece. This kicks off a chain reaction that brings the entire set tumbling down, which abruptly ends the show. Backstage, Ernie hears the crowd erupt into laughter, gasps and screams, and it's all too much. He runs from the theater, never to return to the stage again. Well, not as a living soul, that is. Years later, Sanford would sadly learn of the passing of Ernest Badgett, and many would recall that calamitous night. But shortly thereafter, strange occurrences would start taking place at the Temple Theater with increasing frequency. We mentioned the lights flickering and shattering earlier, but that was just the beginning. Staff would report hearing hammering and sawing regularly in a completely empty theater as if someone was continuously constructing a set. And when set pieces were constructed on stage, actors and backstage crew would sometimes see them shake violently as if someone or something was testing their sturdiness. At dress rehearsals, after weeks of practicing lines, actors would suddenly walk across where Ernie once stood, freeze, and completely forget their lines. During actual performances, actors would go out of their way to avoid the area at all costs. Most chilling of all is what some theater patrons have physically experienced while attending shows. Some have claimed that if they laughed too loudly or aggressively at a performance, they'd suddenly begin to have a coughing fit that would last for quite some time. Many of them have had to excuse themselves to the lobby where suddenly the coughing fit would miraculously clear up. It's believed that Ernie's overwhelming passion for the arts and his unrealized potential as a great actor are what tether him to the mortal plane of the Temple Theater in Sanford. Perhaps for him, the show truly must go on, regardless of a little thing like dying. Before continuing on to the next hair-raising boo and brew ghost tale, might we suggest one last stop? Head over to Charlie Watson Lane to add a bucket list item to the Before I Die mural. Our ghosts really enjoy seeing what the living are up to these days, especially if your dream involves the stage.